It's a very big honor and a privilege to be here in this yeshiva. I've heard wonderful things, and I know many of the Talmidim here, and the reputation really precedes it, and it's a big schus to be here. There's a Gemara in Psachim and Afkaf Beis Hamad Beis that says that there was a Tana by the name of Shimon HaMsuni. And Shimon HaMsuni was mekabel on himself a very, very big tafkid in life. He wanted to be Dairish kol esen shebatayra. Every single time it says the word es in the Torah, Shimon HaMsuni was going to come and figure out why the Rabbeinu Shalom wrote in the Torah that word es. If you go through a search of how many S in the Torah, there's mistama thousands and thousands of S. So he had his work cut out for him. You start out with the first pasuk in Sefer Bereishis, Bereishis Bara Elokim, Es HaShamayim Es HaAretz. You already have a whole day's work with the first pasuk in the Torah. And Shimon HaMsuni went and he methodically went through one S after another S, and he was darshaning. And he came up with a very big chibur, thousands and thousands of chidushei Torah of one S after another S. Kivan shigia les Hashem alekecha tira piresh. He came up to a pasuk of es Hashem alekecha tira. You should fear the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And there's a word S there, and he was piresh. He backed off of that pasuk. He says, I can't darshan that word S. It's untouchable. How dare I go and darshan a pasuk, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira? What could S possibly be marbe? How could I even utter a riboy by the pasuk of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira? Amr Lei Talmidav. So his Talmidim said to him, Rabbi, kol esim shedarashta matei aleyen. You have decades of your life invested in this project of darshaning every single word S in the Torah. You have thousands of shtiklach Torah on every word S. What are you going to do with all of them? You're going to put it in Seamus? I once bought from somebody I collect kisvei yad a little bit, so somebody had kisvei yad of Rav Shach's chidushei Torah that he wrote in the Avi Ezri. So I bought from somebody 3 pages of Rav Shach's handwritten notes on Avi Ezri. And I asked the guy who was selling it to me, where'd you get this from? He says, when Rav Shach finished writing his chidushim and he gave them to the publisher to print, the publisher at the end gave him back all the stacks of his handwritten chidushei Torah, and he put it in Seamus. He put stacks and stacks of his Chidushei Torah in Seamus, and then he just left it there. So this guy was a smart guy. He says, I knew that there was value to these Chidushei Torah. Some Rav Shach was already the Gadol Hadar at the time. So I fished it out of Seamus. And he claims that he went to Rav Shach and he asked him for Rishus to keep them. Rav Shach says, why would you want them? It's Seamus. So he says, all right, but putting that aside, would you mind if I keep it? So Rav Shach says, fine. So he says, every time now I have to marry off a child, I sell off parts of these chidushim of the Avi Ezri. So I own 3 pages of, in Hilchas Sanhedrin, I have that. So he came up to Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, he backs off. They asked him, Rebbe, what are you going to do? You're going to throw all these chidushei Torah? You're going to put it in Seamus? You worked decades of your life to figure out every S in the Torah. What are you going to do with it? And he said immortal words. Amar lahem kishem shekibalti schar la drisha, kach ani mekabel schar la prisha. The same way that I got schar and shamayim for darshaning every S, the hundreds and thousands of hours that I spend haraving on every single S, until I came up with all these chidushei Torah, and I got schar for that. But the same Rabbeinu Shalom that gives me schar for the drasha, for the drisha, should also give me schar ala prisha, to be pirish from this theory, to be pirish from this project, sometimes it's even greater schar that you get when you don't do something than when you do it. Because not doing something shows that I have Yerushalayim. The Rabbeinu Shalom understands why I'm stopping, and he's going to fully give me schar, not just on the drisha, but also on the prisha. And the Gemara then continues and says, Atshebar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva comes along, Vidarash, and he darshened, Es Hashem Leikecha Tira, L'Rabbeis Tamidei Chachamim. He stepped in to the place that Shimon Hamsuni dared not tread. Comes Rabbi Akiva, and he fearlessly goes, and he darshins Es Hashem Leikecha Tira. That word Es is Marbe Tamidei Chachamim. You have to fear the Rabbeinu Shleilam, and the Es is Marbe, that you also have to fear Tamidei Chachamim. And the question is obvious. Presumably, Shimon Hamsuni was a very big Baal Mechadish. If he was able to darshan every single S up until this pasuk, it's way deep in the Torah, it's in Devarim Yud. So he got straight from Bereshis all the way into Devarim. He darshan thousands and tens of thousands of word Esen, and all of a sudden he was stumped by this S, Hashem L'Kecha Tira, and comes Rabbi Akiva, and as if it's like a layup, he just says, L'Rabbi Samid Chachamim, I'm sure Shimon Hamsuni would have been able to also be creative enough to think of that. Why did Rabbi Akiva, how was Rabbi Akiva able to say something and Shimon Hamsuni was not able to say that very thing? So Mordechai Gifter, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the Talzer Shiva, used to say over a lot, B'Shem, the Takanas Ezra, a beautiful pshat. He says what happened was that Shimon Hamsuni darshened all these Esen. He got up to Es Hashem L'Kecha Tira and he felt that it wasn't appropriate to darshan this word, L'Rabbi Tamid Chachamim, even though of course it's Tamid Chachamim, but how can you say, it's like, he felt it was like totally wrong on so many levels to equate the Rabbeinu Shalom in any which way with mere mortals, with Tamid Chachamim. How can you say you have to fear Hashem? And you also have to fear a Talmud Chacham. Ask the Rabbi Samin Chacham. He said, "That's I don't want to go there. That's untouchable for me." And so with that, because he had such Yerushalayim, he had such Kedusha, he had such Tara, that he was willing and able to be pirish from his life's mission. Imagine if you or I were spending, you know, years and years and years on something, on a project, and we are almost done with that project. And we spend thousands of man hours, and every day and every night we give our all to that, and all of a sudden there's some like ethical issue that we have. And we could either just like charge forward and just like hold our nose for a second and write a pirush on that pasuk, or we could say, no, my whole theory is now in Seamus, I'm not doing it anymore, I'm stopping, that's it. I think most of us, I'll speak for myself, I would just charge forward. I would just say, I put too much time, too much effort, too many hours. I can't do this anymore. I got to finish it. I can't stop here. Shimon Hamsuni was so perfect in his midas and his Yerushalayim and his Kedusha that he wasn't willing to take the easy step in life and to say, I'm going to just darshan L'Rabbi Tzimin Chacham. I'll just do it. Let's just do it. He wasn't willing to do that. He was willing to throw everything into the Seamus box just so as he wouldn't offend the Rabbeinu Shalom in any which way. Atshebar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva came and he saw Shimon Hamsuni. Rabbi Akiva looked at that Yerushalayim, that Kedusha and that Tara of Shimon Hamsuni, his colleague. And he says, wow. If there could be a mortal human being that's able to do that for the Rabbeinu Shleilam, then I can easily use him as a mashal, as a semel of Es L'Rabbi Samid Chachamim. Such a Talmud Chacham that's able to be so close to the Rabbeinu Shleilam that he's willing to do anything and everything just not to offend the Rabbeinu Shlom, put all my projects on hold just so that I don't do anything wrong. That is a person that I could safely darshan as for Rabbi Samid Chachamim. Rav Huttner, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, he wrote a letter once to a city that appointed a Rav. I think the Rav was a Talmud of his, and he was a Rav in the city for 10 years. And they made him like a dinner in his honor, marking the 10th year anniversary of his Rabbanus, and Rav Huttner was invited to come, but he wasn't able to. So instead he sent a letter, which works out much better for us, because a letter is permanent, we have it, and we know exactly what he wrote. And they read that letter at the dinner, and this is what the letter said. In the olden days, and even in these days, there are certain cities that have these, like, clock towers. Like, you know, you think of Big Ben in London, and maybe, you know, in the cities that you live in, maybe there's a city hall that has a big clock on it. And these clock towers are always very high up. And Rav Huttner says, you know, Pashtus, the reason why most people think that the clock towers are very high up is so that everywhere you are in the city, you're able to just look up and right away see what time it is. He says, but that's not the only reason. There's another reason. And the reason is because if, let's say, the clock was very low, let's say that clock is pretty low, but let's say it was a little lower. So what people would do in the town is they would look at their watch and they would look at the clock's watch, at the town's watch, and if the city's clock was off a mashu from my watch, so what would I do? I would go and change the city's clock to match my time. So that's why Rav Huttner says in order to have a standard time in a city, you have to keep it high up, said everybody calibrates their own personal watch to the town's clock, as opposed to everybody moving the dial on the town's clock to match their own watch. He says there's different types of Rabbanim in the world, and there's different types of Kehilos in the world. Sometimes a Rebbe and a Rav, they're very accessible to, you know, to the Olam. And they're Balabatim, like, you know, there are communities I know, you know, the Balabatim, they play golf with their Rav, and they play basketball with their Rav, and they go on, you know, hikes with their Rav. And they're basically, the Rav is sort of like an instrument for the community to use, you know, as a matir for whatever they need, anything that they want. They just slap him on the back and he does whatever they want. Rav Huttner says that you're community were wise enough to set your Rav on a high pedestal so that you know that he is the standard time for the Tzibur. Whatever he says goes. Whatever he paskins, that's halacha l'maisa. There's no playing around with him to coordinate him to you, but you have to coordinate yourself to him. And that's a maila that a Rav has. You know, when I learned in Chaim Berlin myself for many years, and then I went to a mashkiach now in Lander College for about 13 years, 13 and a half years. And when I first came to yeshiva, so, you know, they have basketball games and the Talmidim want the Rebbe to play. And I was very against it because, you know, in Chaim Berlin, it's like unthinkable that a Rebbe is like, you know, he's up there and the Talmidim are down here and like whatever the Rebbe says, that's what it is. And I very rarely play, but like once in a while, you know, because of, you know, the nature of the Olam, so, you know, you play a little bit, Lag BaOmer, there's like Rebbe Talmidim basketball game, but it was like a really, you know, it took me many years to mellow to allow that. They once asked Rav Pam, a Rebbe asked Rav Pam, is it mutter for a Rebbe to play basketball with Talmidim? And Rav Pam gave a brilliant answer. He says, only if you're good. If the Rebbe's good in basketball, then it's a Kiddush Hashem to play with Talmidim. If you're lousy, then don't go anywhere near the courts. It's just going to be a bizayin of the Kavod HaTorah. But there's a very important element of our lives, and that's having proper Kavod for Talmidei Chacham, and for Rabbanim, and for Abayim, for Shishivas. And it's something that is really part and parcel of our entire Yiddishkeit. It's built on Torah Shebichsav together with Torah Shebaal Peh. And as much as we're mechabed, everybody's mechabed the Torah Kedoshah, but sometimes we're a little bit more lax when it comes to Rabbeim, when it comes to Talmid Chachamim and Kailel and the like. And it's very important for us to understand Es Hashem Lekecha Tira, that Es is L'Rabbi Talmid Chacham. On the same way, obviously not on the same level perhaps, but in the same direction that we're all Mechabed Torah and Mechabed the Rabbeinu Shalom, that's how we have to be Mechabed, the living embodiment of the Torah, which are Talmid Chachamim. Chavetz Chaim once had a balabas from Radin come to him, and he was crying, and he says, "Rabbi, I have a very big problem." He says, "I have a daughter who went off the derech a number of years ago, and now she's about to marry a guy. And my wife and I were tearing kriya. We don't know what to do, and we have no one to turn to except for you. You're the Gadol Hadar. You're the Chafetz Chaim. You're the Rabban Shel Yisrael. If there's anyone that's able to somehow perform a miracle for us, it would be you. Would you be willing to talk to our daughter and try to talk her out of marrying this guy?" So the Chafetz Chaim says, "Of course, whatever you want, I'll do." And the person was so happy, he starts running out the door to get his daughter. And before he was able to make it to the door, the Chafetz Chaim stopped him and says, "Come back here." He says, "Rebbe, what can I do for you? I want to get my daughter." He says, "Yeah. Before you get your daughter, I just have one quick question to ask you. Shabbos, after davening, you came home, and your wife was home, and there was a table set. Your daughter was sitting at the table. I presume you have sons sitting around the table. What did you say at the table? Did you say at the table that the Rav spoke beautifully, that the Rav gave an outstanding drasha, that we're so fortunate to have such a Rav in our Kehillah, that he's a Gain, and he's unbelievable, and he's a Tzaddik, he's a Tamim, he's a Paisek, he's a Bekias and Be'ion, and he has everything. We're so fortunate to have this Rav." And this man's face started turning red and then white. And the Chafetz Chaim pushed further, and he says, "Or maybe you were speaking in derogatory terms about the Rav. Maybe you were saying that the Rav gave a lousy drasha. He doesn't know how to speak. He spoke too long. He spoke too short. Could barely hear him. Not a Talmud Chacham. We should get somebody younger, somebody better, somebody smarter, somebody funnier. Which one was it, A or B?" And this man had no choice but to admit to the Chafetz Chaim that it was B. So Chafetz Chaim says, "Oy bazoy, if that's the case, then I'm sorry, but I can't help you. Doesn't pay to call your daughter." He says, "Mashal ma'adavar daima. Once upon a time, there was a man with a very sick son, and the son was about to die. And they called from the next town over the doctor. From the other neighboring town, you had to cross a bridge to get to the other community. There was a chash of a doctor, and he was called, he was summoned to come quickly and bring a certain type of medicine. Maybe that will save the son's life." And it was already dark out, and this doctor is crossing the bridge with his medicine in his bag, and all of a sudden a mugger comes over to him and puts a gun in his belly and says, "Give me the bag." "Just give me the bag." "No, this is not for you. This is important." He says, "Give me the bag." And he starts sort of rifling through the bag, looking for cash, looking for any valuables. And he saw it was just medication. He threw it into the water underneath the bridge. And he runs away. So the doctor, that was the only medicine the doctor had. He had no more medicine at home. The drugstores were all closed. But this kid, Nebuch, needed the medicine. Dachuf. So the doctor went to the address that he was given just to tell the father of the boy that, "I'm sorry, you know, I wasn't able to be Mekayim my mission because somebody mugged me." He goes to that person's address. He knocks on the door. The door opens, and the doctor almost faints on the spot. Because the father of the boy was the mugger. And he says, "I can't help your son. You know why I can't help your son?" He says, "Just give me the medicine." He says, "I can't. You mugged me on the bridge. You don't recognize me. I was coming across the bridge with a medicine for your own son to save his life. And you came and put a gun to me. And you threw the medicine, biadayim, over the side of the bridge into the water. And it's gone. You killed your own son. You took the medicine that could have been used to save your son. And you threw it away." And the Chafetz Chaim said to this father, "That's exactly what you did. Because I could help your daughter. I'm the Chafetz Chaim. People know me. Any school child knows who the Chafetz Chaim is. If I would tell your daughter, don't marry that guy, she would listen to me. There's only one problem. You took the medicine that I have to give her and you threw it away. Because you taught her every single Shabbos by example that there's no inyan to be mechavi tamid chachamim. Fakert. It's good to disparage tamid chachamim. It's good to make mincemeat to have every Shabbos you ate for lunch your rav. You had the rav for lunch every single Shabbos over the cholent. You had cholent and kishka and kugel and your rav." And that's what the daughter was trained to hear and to listen to. That there's no kavadat tayer, there's not, the rabbis don't mean anything, what they say is useless. And so of course I'm going to sit, I'm just another one of these silly rabbis to your daughter, and I'm going to sit there and tell her something, she's not going to listen to me. But it's your fault, because you took the medicine and you threw it away. One of the most important things when you're a yid, but befrat when you're a talmud in a yeshiva, is to have proper derech eretz to your abeim, to your rashi yeshiva, of course, and to your mashkiach and to the rabbeim. But everyone, every talmud chacham, every avrich and kailo that sits and he's meiser nefesh, you don't know how much kavod these people are due. And you don't need me coming from America to preach to you about how to give kavod to Torah. I'm sure everybody in this room does. But sometimes it's good. If I'm only talking to myself, it's kedai. It's good once in a while just to remind ourselves how much our rabbeim do for us. How much our rabbeim give. They mamish, some rabbeim, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, in America, they mamish live bedachkus. They mamish have a hard time putting food on their table just because they're teaching us Torah. They could do other things. There's other careers that they could easily do. Smart, brilliant people, but they decided to dedicate their lives to giving over their Messiah, their Torah, to you and to me. And we owe them such cover that it's not even shayach to ever thank them enough. We go and we thank them every single day. From now till we leave the yeshiva, it still wouldn't be enough. But it's important to remember that as much as we love our rabbeim, as much as we feel close to them, we have to also understand that they're that clock tower, that we have to keep them very elevated and not treat them like our friends, even though they might invite it sometimes. But still, there has to be some distance, some kavadat Torah, some chashivas that we give them extra. Even if they don't ask for it, but it's still due them, because they are the embodiment of the Torah itself. There's a Gemara in Makkos that says that kama tipshoi bavloi, that these foolish bavloi and people living in Bavel, dekami mekame sefer Torah, that they get up when a sefer Torah comes out of the ar and everybody stands up, for like kame mekame degaver rabba, they don't get up. When a Talmud Chacham enters the room, they don't get up. Because there is obviously an equality that the Gemara is making between the Torah, the physical Torah, and the living Torah, the living Sifrei Torah. And that's our Abayim. Mitzvah Hashem, if anything resonates, it's given in the most easygoing way. I don't mean at all. I'm not a preacher. And I tell the guys in yeshiva all the time, the biggest person that I'm talking to in the room, the only person I'm talking to is really myself. And I'm allowing everyone to just listen. It's like group therapy, but just me and myself. So it's not meant in any which way, you know, as Musa, I'm not in any position to give Musa. But it's important as a reminder to really be able to be makir tayv to our abeyim, to our avreichim, to the people, even our chavrusas, anyone that teaches us, we have to be mechabed, we have to give that extra amount of kavod. Because their kavod is the kavod of the Torah, it's the kavod of the Shekhinah himself. And mitzvah Hashem, we should be zeicha to all of these important yesaidus.
Reuven Frank, brother Meir.
Meir is a tzaddik.